As many of you know, I recently came back from a visit to Japan. In fact, came back late Thursday, and I was in Japan with a group of other Zen practitioners for a 700th year memorial of the founding of Sojiji, one of the two head temples, head monasteries in Soto School, which we're affiliated with, founded by Keizan Zenji. And I've talked about some of Keizan Zenji's texts before, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about practice in terms of that. I had a very interesting and rich experience being there. We were there for 10 plus days, and mostly with other longtime practitioners who we've known. And for 3 days, staying at, visiting and participating at Eheji and Sojiji, the two head monasteries of our lineage, and in Zen school. I really don't want, not going to go into very much detail about that. In one sense, it was a very full schedule those 3 days, because all of it was going exactly along with the way the practice is in those monasteries. And it's similar, and yet it's very different than we in the West practice, whether in a small Zen center like ours or in larger temples. It's still very different practicing in Japan, especially given that I don't speak very much Japanese, almost nothing, and many of the people there in Japan and at even at the monasteries don't speak very much English or understand very much English. And the ways that they practice are unique to their particular temple, monastery. And we as guests are expected to follow along with their tradition, whether we understand and know exactly what is expected of us or have done it before. But in a way, that's the nature of our life, not in terms of monasteries, but in the sense that our life is about practicing in this universe where even if we think we know the way it is supposed to be, it doesn't follow those expectations. And therefore, practice is about being, doing the way it's called for right now with whomever is part of our life right now, whether they're the ones we want or don't want, whether those are circumstances and people we expected or didn't expect. How can we practice being wholly in this present moment? And in a way, this links up with two things that I want to bring up from Keizan Zenji. One of the phrases is completing the ordinary things we do every day, one by one, with all our heart, mind, is awakening itself. This is what Keizan Zenji's teacher, Tetsu Gikai, said to him in confirming his awakening, his transmission, confirming his practice. Completing the ordinary things we do every day, one by one. For all of us, that's very simple. And yet, it's often most difficult. It's very simple because it's what's right in front of us. Not right in front of us in some special way, but in right in front of us as it is now. That's exactly our practice. And it's exactly where sometimes we make difficulty for ourselves by believing that we, they, it should be otherwise and reacting out of that to miss my opportunity right here, right now, to do this, to mess with, if I say it that way, the opportunity to do right now this life, this universe that I am, that we are. And the only thing we get when we miss it is that we suffer in all sorts of ways. Or we don't use the word suffer, we're unsatisfied. We have consequences that cause difficulty for us or others, whatever way you want to express that word. We don't accept what's served to us at this moment. We refuse to, if I say it, drink the tea that's in front of us, but rather complain about it, throw it away, push it aside, blame someone else, blame ourselves. And therefore make trouble where there need not be trouble. But it, making trouble is the suffering and the harming that results. That's the simple practice, whether it's in the ordinary way that our life is going or in the particular special way that today is, whether because you're in, we are in Japan while we expect to be in Champagne, America, or wherever our life is, or because we had plans for it to be otherwise, or, and you fill in the reasons why, how we refuse to be this ordinary moment. An ordinary moment includes sitting upright in the Zendo, or at home when you're sitting Zazen, or driving down the highway, or, and you can fill in, or meeting with so-and-so, shopping in such-and-such, working at this and that, listening to, always, our life is in the most ordinary activity of right now, and always, the only so-called hindrance, the only thing that gets in our way, is how we are embracing or fighting with this moment as is. And what is most important and most useful for all of us is, as we say in the practice principle, noticing the thoughts or the dreams or the stories that we are blinding ourselves with, or that we are holding on to, or that seem to be taking us over. Sometimes there's no sense where we have authorship of it. Instead, it might seem that this just happens to us, these ways that the thoughts and feelings about so-called ourself or so-called others out there or the universe becomes so intense that they're more than just the clouds that appear, but they seem the solid walls that we bump up against. And that's exactly our opportunity. When we bump up against something, please notice that and see, do what's called for. In visiting Japan, because I speak so little Japanese, because it's so very different than what I am used to, I got to notice many more circumstances where confusion or not knowing arises. And when and how that arises is one thing, but what to do when we notice it is really where the practice is really where the opportunity is. And every day we wake up into a new world. We wake up into the world as it is right now, as it is right now. And sometimes it's exactly as we expect. Much of the time, our expectations are the times when caught up and holding to thoughts and stories and dreams are there to serve as bodhisattvas to either encourage us to be right this moment, or as Keizan Zenji said, completing the ordinary things we are doing right now are our opportunities and supports, or they are our practice requirements that call for us to be this awakened life, despite the fact that we want to entangle, or we seem to want to, or seem to be caught in those entangling thoughts, feelings. They are our wonderful bodhisattvic supports, the wonderful time where we're being served what the universe is serving us, and we have to drink and eat that universe in a skillful, appropriate way. Traveling somewhere like Japan, where I didn't speak much, I hadn't been in these particular crowded trains, subways, didn't have the directions that I'm used to of how to get places, because couldn't read, wasn't instructions in the language that I was familiar with, is a wonderful opportunity for us, for me, for those who we were traveling with, to notice what's happening, to be what's happening. That's all we need. Our whole life is offering us the opportunity. Take care of this right here. This right here will take care of you. Will take care of relieving suffering and harming. Or will force you, if you're practicing with it, to notice where the suffering, harming is arising. And that's, after all, the whole of the Buddha's teaching, is to give us the opportunity to see what enables us to take care of, whether we call it suffering, harming, stress, dissatisfaction, whatever word we want to use to translate that dukkha, which the Buddha says is the practice to relieve it for ourselves and relieve it for others, or relieve it for others and therefore relieve it for ourselves. I'm glad to be back, though I still have somewhat the residual sickness that seems to have arisen in my travels or in my return home. Hopefully it won't get much worse. But in any case, it's my opportunity and it's our opportunity to be here now, life as it is. So please be supported by our life as it is. Thank you.